it's always striking. I think when we were young, we all memorized verses. And I don't want you ever to look down on memorizing verses or think this is for little kids. Because the Word of God becomes part of you. And this is exactly what happened. The sword cleaved to his hand. I think, I could imagine, after the battle, they were trying to kind of open his hand, to kind of open it up so he could, like, release the sword. He became one piece, as we have heard. The Word of God, thy word I have hidden in my heart. And the Word of God becomes part of you. It is what kind of occupy your mind day in and day out. It's so easy to quote scripture. It's so easy to apply the scripture when the enemy comes. He stuck to the Word of God. It wasn't like, well, I'm going to use it today. And then the fact of the matter, we all have Bibles. You were given one for your birthday. You were given one for your first day at school. You were given one for, and you got, I said it many times, you got the smaller Bible with picture, and then you get the bigger Bible, and then you get the King James Bible, and then, you know, you get to high school, and then you got the Darby Bible, and then you get the Bible that has the Darby and the King James together, and, you know, maybe you will get the Greek Bible later on in life or whatever. But you have the Word of God. How many of you have only one Bible in your home? Just one. Nobody. Everyone has 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. But it doesn't do you any good to have it on the shelf. You know, Eliezer didn't say, oh, let me go and get the Word. He had it. He had it, and he had it cleaved to his hand, stuck. It's part of him. And he was able to fight the Philistines. It doesn't matter if everybody knocked that book. It doesn't matter if everybody criticized that book. He stood alone, as we have heard. David, he took character from David. David took every letter in the alphabet to write Psalm 119. Every letter he could use. And every verse, almost, in Psalm 119 is about the Word of God. David loved the Word of God. Eliezer loved the Word of God. The Lord Jesus loved the Word of God. You and I ought to love the Word of God and to have it as to become part of us, so we could defend and fight against the enemies.
See, Eliezer was prepared. It said he arose. The enemy is here to be engaged, and he was prepared. And so we have to ask ourselves, am I prepared for the battle? It's interesting to note also, and we underscore this, the thought of standing alone. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful when there can be others that are joining in the battle. But these are days when we're called to stand and stand alone if we need. And we find that we're really not alone because the Lord is with us if we're standing and we're operating under His guidance and influence. But this man had boldness. Here's the enemy, the Philistines that come in amongst the inheritance, what is for the people of God, and they want to take what is ours, they want to corrupt it. And here's a man that arose, and he smote them. You know, this thought of cleaving is, we first see this in the book of Genesis, where it says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his own wife, and the two shall be one flesh. That is a thought here of cleaving. It's two things now becoming one object. And the Word of God needs to be like that in our hearts. Mm-hmm. Not something that, well, it's something separate. I pick it up when I need to or want to. But that it is so a part of us that it governs our thought life first. It governs our walk. And then it's an instrument that we can utilize in a moment. You know, I think I said this earlier, that when we hear things that are, that begin to challenge our natural thinking because they sound kind of interesting or they may even sound real, we are able in an instant to go into a biblical file, if you would, in our minds to say, here's what the Word of God says about that thing. Here's what it says about doing this. We were speaking yesterday about knowing, having spiritual discernment. And there are two verses in the book of Proverbs. One says, answer not a fool according to his folly. The very next verse says, answer a fool according to his folly. It's knowing when to do something and when not to do something. There are times a man is speaking foolish things. You sit in your classes, and that professor, he's saying some things that are absolutely nonsense. And the Spirit of God may say to you, hold your tongue. Answer not a fool according to his folly. And yet, in another class, or another circumstance, someone is saying almost the same thing. And the Spirit of God says to you, respond to that man and tell him what the Word of God says. So that's when we are skillful with the Word of God. That's when it's cleaving to us. And that's when we can arise and use it.
I would like to suggest something about this man that's not seen here, but it's in the book of Chronicles. Mm-hmm. And that will help us move into Shammah, because there's something very interesting about him. But I want to make a quick exhortation. You know, the people fled, but when did they come back? They came back for the spoil.
Yep.
They just wanted to reap the benefit, but they didn't want to do, as it were, dirty their hands.
That's right, yeah.
Don't be like that. Mm. You know what? In so many ways, we just want to come to the meeting to reap the benefits of our older brethren, you know. Yeah. But if there's a conflict, no, I'm leaving. Mm-hmm. You know what? I'm leaving. But if there is a blessing, or if there is something good, I want to have part of it. Mm. Let's not have this spirit. Mm. Let's not be like the people that will run away when there's a conflict, and then they want to come back when there's something for them. Mm. We want to be like these mighty men.
Yes.
Who can enjoy the spoil, but also stand when there's a conflict to honor the name of David. Amen. So for us to honor the name of the Lord Jesus. But this man, Eliezer, will help us to move into Shammah, if you will.
Yes.
Because we don't read it over here, but you know he had the same exercise as Shammah? Mm. When do you read it? 1 Chronicles chapter 11. Right. He was a man, and that's where I want to bring the collective aspect for it. You see, now I understand. Now I understand why in 1 Chronicles it says they. Mm. Right. They. Because I certainly would like to see it. That Shammah and Eliezer were doing it together. And this is how wonderful when brethren have the same desires, the interest of Christ, then they are willing to work together. It doesn't become competition, you know. Mm. I don't want you to go to your local meeting, and if you want to have a feature of meeting, you never think of your older brethren or any other brother. It's a competition. Mm. It's complementation. We complement one another. Eliezer and Shammah are fighting for the field. Mm. And I'm wondering, I'm going to ask a question, and maybe you young ones can help me. And there are two fields that we learn of. One is lentil, and one is barley. What is it for you? Why is a ground of lentil so important that they were willing to give their lives up for it? And why was the ground of barley so important that they were willing to give their lives for it? So I'm wondering if I can get some help. Why the lentil and the barley were so important for these mighty men?
Their nourishment for God's people.
Amen. Mm. Amen. That's a good thought.
Does it have to do anything with truth?
Amen.
Yes, like the truth, the field, like what we have, the truth. We don't want to spoil
it. Just speak out loud.
We don't want to spoil the truth, I guess, in a sense. So the truth is what we want to protect.
Yeah. Amen. So you can say, Keith, and you help me here. In man's assessment, the lentil was the least of the grain. Mm. And the barley was the best of the grain. To these men, they were worth fighting for both of them. It's the whole truth connected together. It is not certain saying, well, this is important, this is not important. No, 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 no. Yeah. To these great men, the lentil was as important to them as the barley. Mm-hmm. And they were willing to die for it. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you this because you touched on the wonderful line. Buy the truth and sell it not. A mighty man is willing, and a mighty woman is willing to buy the truth and sell it not. And I think to me, and I'm sure other brethren might have different thoughts regarding this, because the word of God is so rich, but to me it encourages me that the whole truth that is found in the scripture is very precious, very valuable. It's one truth, and we fight for it, for the whole thing, and not start breaking it up. This is important, this is not important. Mm-hmm.